Well, last week we started a new series called I'm In. And in this series, we're looking at four characteristics that not only represent who we are, but also can represent how God sees you. And they all begin with the letters I Am. Last week we talked about that you are invaluable. You are invaluable to God. And that we are the body of Christ. Our identity changes when we become a part of God's family. And in that, we have to recognize that every part of the body matters. Well, this week, we're going to shift over to be to study what it means to be influential. And then we'll talk about what does it mean to be invested in God's work. And then lastly, as we finish out our series, we're going to talk about being inviting. And not just inviting, but recognizing that we are invited into relationship with God. So through this series, we've also launched a new format. And I just want to share with you just briefly, this new format gives you an opportunity to enjoy this content with other people around you. I hope that you're watching this with a small group or your family, or maybe you're gathered as a couple, or maybe you're watching this content alone. And if that's you, that's okay. We want everybody to be able to enjoy the content and to be able to process through the questions that God raises through the message as we work through it. And there's going to be three different opportunities for you to pause the live service and to be able to dialogue and discuss with the people around you. Now, if you're joining us in a small group, you can always go over to our page to get the talk sheet. In fact, our talk sheet is located at our website, trinitynazarene.org/trinityanywhere. And there you can actually pick up the talk sheet. We also have a link on our YouTube page and our Facebook page for you to be able to get the talk sheet online. Now, if you're enjoying this as a family, we have a family edition as well that we would love for you to download and use as we stop to be able to dialogue with your family. So today we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about what does it mean to be influential? Influential. Like last week, this is kind of hard to believe. When I say that you're influential, you might go, well, sure, I know I'm influential, but it's not always for good things. I hear that. You know, it's interesting that being influential is really in line with a current term that we're very familiar with called influencer. If you're not familiar with an influencer, or an influencer is somebody in social media terms, is a person who has built a reputation for their knowledge and expertise on a specific topic. They make regular posts about that topic on their preferred social media channels, and they generate large followings of enthusiastic, engaged people who pay close attention to their views. If I asked you, can you name an influencer, you probably could name three right off the bat. And it's interesting because I was an influencer, but I was an influencer long before Twitter was even a gleam in the computer's eye or Instagram was even thought of. In fact, I could tell you that I built an incredible reputation. I had expertise on multiple topics, and I regularly shared my experience with the people around me. In fact, I had a large following of friends and other people who knew all about me. Now, granted, I was 11 years old at the time. My reputation was for getting in trouble. I had expertise which included, but wasn't limited to, destroying stop signs with rocks, throwing eggs at cars. I actually was an expert at putting pennies on the railroad track before the train came. Now, I don't recommend doing any of these things. And I shared my experience with anybody who would listen. And because of that, I had a large following, especially at school, because all my friends loved to see me get in trouble. I was an influencer. Now, granted, that was the wrong type of influence. You don't want to be known to be an influencer that influences people in a negative way, but it's still influence nonetheless. Now, the thing that bothers me about when we talk about this word influencer is the term has been hijacked by society. In fact, now when we hear that word influencer, we're talking about power, we're talking about product, we're talking about the number of followers somebody has, their ability to sway even buying options and power. Growing up, an influencer was a teacher. It was a coach. It was a Sunday school teacher, a caravan leader. I mean, it was a youth pastor, was an influencer when I was growing up. In fact, what was interesting is when I was a youth pastor back in the early 2000s and mid 2000s, my rank as an influencer in students' lives was number 4. It was parent, teacher, coach, and youth pastor. Well, here's the devastating news. As I did research in preparation for this message, a youth pastor now doesn't even rank in the top 10 most influential people in a student's life. Youth pastor now actually ranks number 11. That's really sad, folks. But we see how much influence others have over us. Now, friends actually rank higher than a youth pastor. I want you to hear me say this. You are an influencer. And that is the truth. You either are influencing, have influenced, or can influence another human being today. Not only are you an influencer, but you're called to be an influencer. You have no idea how one word, one conversation, one encouragement, or even one expression of love can change a person's life forever. You are an influencer. So, let's spend some time today reclaiming this word, influence. Let's reclaim the word influencer. And our goal today is to help you see how influential you really are. Now, this is a good place for us to stop. If you're joining us in a group, you're going to see a pause screen that's going to pop up. Just press pause, go to your talk sheet, and discuss with your group. If you're watching this as a couple, talk with each other. Take a few minutes, dialogue. And again, if you're watching this content alone, I want to encourage you, maybe text the questions to a friend or try to create some type of dialogue, or you could even journal during this time. Now, if you want to continue on with the content, you'll see a countdown of 5 seconds. And at the end of 5 seconds, the content will just continue to go forward. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, it's a really interesting metaphor that Jesus uses to talk specifically to his disciples. Now, I want to talk to the disciples this morning. Now, a disciple is somebody who has submitted, committed, and is all in with Jesus. Now, you may be watching, and that's not you. Well, let me tell you, that's okay. You are welcome here. You're in the right place. But this morning, I want to be specific to talk to the followers, the ones who claim to be Christians, the disciples, because Jesus is speaking to you through this powerful metaphor found in Matthew chapter 5. Jump down to verse 13 as we start here. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, let's stop there for a second. What does salt do? Well, salt purifies. Salt preserves. Salt adds flavor. Let me tell you, when Jesus says to be or that you are the salt of the earth, bring some salt to the party. Bring some flavor to the party. Now, I'm not telling you to be salty. I'm telling you to bring the flavor wherever you go. Let's continue down to verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out. Look at that. Shine out. Be an influencer for Christ is exactly what that's saying. And do it, as the scripture says, for all to see. Let it shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, the problem with the current definition of influencer is that it starts with the platform. You know, you may have heard people say the size of your platform determines the scope of your influence. I don't buy that. I think, again, in God's economy, that the script gets flipped, turned upside down. I think I just made a Will Smith reference. I think that might have been a Fresh Prince reference I just made there. But it's not the size of your platform that determines the scope of your influence, because true and lasting influence always starts with people before platform. Real and lasting influence always starts with people. It doesn't start with platform. The most important question for you today is not, what is your platform? Instead, it's, who are your people? Who are your people this morning? Who are the people in your life that you interact with? Your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. I know I sound like a broken record because I keep talking about this, because this is so important. But let's take this scope even further than what I just mentioned. It could be a barista. It could be a grocery store clerk. It could be your mailman or mail lady. I don't remember male people. It could be male people. It could be a dog groomer. It could be your hairdresser. And maybe you go to the dog groomer as your hairdresser. Probably not, but that would be funny. It could be the commuters on the train that you interact with all the time. It could be the parent of a kid on your sports team. I mean, there's so many options. It could be your dentist. I know it might be like a little awkward, like, without Jesus. No, with a... But you have an opportunity to be an influencer around the people that you've already built relationships with. And so when we look at this, I have to recognize that I have had influential people in my life. I've had to, because if I hadn't, I don't know where I would be. I think about a youth pastor. When I was 13, he wasn't even my youth pastor, but his name was Steve Kent. And I think about Steve Kent when I remember that he looked at me and he saw a really rough 13-year-old kid, and he says, God's got something great for you. I think about Scott Sherwood, and he was the youth evangelist at the camp meeting that I was at with my family. And he preached messages that felt like he was driving right down my street. And he influenced my call into ministry. I think about Raymond DiCamillo. And Pastor Raymond was my pastor. I think about Gary Carnahan, who was the pastor of the church that I grew up in. These were all influential people. Raymond changed my even outlook, and he rescued my faith. He changed my outlook on God and rescued my faith. I think about later in life, Dr. Dalton. And even some of you know Dr. Dalton, as he served as an interim pastor here at Trinity. And Dr. Dalton is one of the reasons why I'm even here as the pastor. He was incredibly influential in my life. I think about Pastor Heck, who was my first senior pastor as I was serving as an associate under his ministry and his leadership. And I think about all the conversations that we've had together and how he influenced who I've become as a pastor. I think about Dr. McCain, our district superintendent, and how currently he is speaking life into me, and he's guiding me, he's influencing me. These are all people that have, that are, and I pray will continue to influence me and my story. But here's also the thing. Influence isn't always obvious. There's plenty of people in my story who I didn't even know were either praying for me or had influence over who I've become. And it wasn't obvious. And also, influence doesn't mean it's always instant. It's not always instant. In fact, I love this quote from Craig Groeschel. He says, "Just because you don't see a harvest doesn't mean your seed didn't take root." I think we have to remember that the opportunity is for us to plant seeds, to broadcast seeds, to scatter the seeds of influence around us. Again, this is a great place for us to stop. We're going to stop here and we're going to move to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. And here we want to dialogue and discuss the scripture. You're going to see opportunities to look over the scripture that we've already read and to be able to have conversation. Parents, again, the family edition is a great place for you to have a conversation with your kids. Make them a part of the conversation. And so we're going to pause here. And if, again, you want to continue to go on, we're going to wait 5 seconds, and then we'll see you back right here. If you're watching as a group, press pause, dialogue and discuss. And when you're ready, just press play, and we'll come back. Jesus said to be salt. Now, if I think about being salt, I think about sprinkling salt onto things. Now, not unless you're my dad, who has a bit of a heavy hand when it comes to the old salt shaker. But the purpose of salt is to add flavor. Think about adding flavor to your relationships. Think about adding flavor to your family as you influence your family. Salt adds, but it's not the main purpose. Someone this week gave me a great analogy to use, and they talked about corn on the cob. You know, you can't eat corn on the cob without two things, butter and salt. But when you're done eating corn on the cob, what do you say? You say, "Whew, that was some really good corn on the cob." You don't say, "Wow, that was some really good salt." And the reason is because the purpose of the salt was to add to the flavor of the corn on the cob and not the purpose. And so when we think about this, we think about the fact that we are called to be salt as a preservative, as an adding to. I actually looked up to see if salt was an additive. It's not an additive. It's actually a preservative. So I was really hoping it was an additive because that would have really worked well for the analogy. But to be salt means to sprinkle it on, to add flavor. But then Jesus also says that you are light. You are light. So shine out. Shine out. There was a gentleman that was walking the streets of Glasgow, Scotland, and what's interesting about Glasgow, and I've been there, is many sections of the city have tall buildings and really narrow streets. And there's actually parts of the city where, depending on what side of your house was on, there would be rooms in your home that would never get sunlight because it wouldn't be able to cascade in because of the buildings around you. Well, this gentleman was walking the streets and he looked over and he saw this boy out on the street. He was barefoot. He was kind of dirty looking, and he had a broken mirror, and he was holding it, and he was shining the light from the sun up into this second story window. And so the man walks over and he says, "What are you doing, laddie?" That's my best Scottish accent. He says, "What are you doing, laddie?" And the little boy looks back at him and he says, "My brother had an accident. And now he lies flat on his back and he doesn't get to see the sun. And that particular room that he's in doesn't get sun during the day. So I come out here every day at the same time and I reflect the sunlight into his room so that he could see the sun." Now, I love that analogy because that's what it means to be the light, to reflect the light of the sun, especially to those who are flat on their back, who haven't been able to experience the cascading warmth of God's light onto their life. You are like that little kid walking around the same time every day, reflecting the light of the sun. I love that. So as I close here, I want to talk about influencers that we even see in Scripture. Now, you might think that I'm going to talk about all of the, you know, giant heroes of faith that were influencers like Jesus. No, that's too easy. Instead, I want to talk about the story in John 4. And it wasn't just a story, it was history. When Jesus meets with a Samaritan woman and he tells her that he has living water for her. She was an adulterous woman, and she was a Samaritan at that. And yet she becomes the chief evangelist for that whole entire town. I want to talk about the influencer in Matthew 5 when Jesus gets out of the boat in the Gerasenes and he comes into contact with a demon-possessed man. I mean, this guy was messed up. He kept breaking chains. He had hundreds of demons that possessed his body. That he was relegated out to the cemeteries and out to the caves out of the city because people couldn't trust him. And Jesus has this incredible encounter with him, and he frees him from all those demons. And then all of a sudden, he tells this demon-possessed man, I want you to go home and tell your family. Well, the demon-possessed man eventually, we believe, did make it home. But before he did, he went throughout the 10 cities of the area, and he told everybody in the 10 cities what Jesus had done in his life. I'm going to talk about the influencer of this squatty little grubby tax collector. And in Luke chapter 19, he couldn't even see Jesus as he was coming. So he climbed up into a tree, and Jesus looks at him and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house. So Jesus goes and he meets with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus calls all of his friends together, and they were all grubby tax collectors, and they were sinners, as the scripture indicates. And Jesus flips the script on Zacchaeus' story. Zacchaeus eventually, at the end of that, turns around and he pays back all the money that he stole from the people in his town. Changed his life forever. I want to talk about the influencer who looked at Jesus and looked at the people around him. And this was a person that Jesus had given his life, it was about to give his life of. For, and even he gave up his life for 3 years teaching him and believing him. And he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church on you. And all of a sudden, this nasty, hot-tempered fisherman looks at all the people and they're like, hey, aren't you with him? And he's like, no, I have no idea who he is. And then afterwards, when Jesus is resurrected, he comes back to that hot-tempered fisherman. And he says, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And the amazing thing is that fisherman, Peter, goes and he eventually gives his life up for Jesus. See, it's easy for us to talk about the giants of faith and say, well, they are such great influences. But let me tell you, you don't have to have your life all together to influence someone for Christ. None of those people I just mentioned had their lives together. In fact, their lives were in shambles. They would have been the last people that you thought would have been an influencer for Jesus. But because they had an encounter with Jesus, they became chief influencers for all the people that they came in contact with. And you know what's amazing? When Jesus goes back to the same town where he met with the demon-possessed man and he freed the demon-possessed man, when he left, he was kicked out and the people were going to stone him to death. He goes back and they receive him. Do you know why? Because that influence of that demon-possessed man, he went back into the city and he says, you'll never believe what this man did for me. Just like the Samaritan woman, she goes back into the town. She goes, this man told me everything about who I am. He turned around and he looked at Simon and Peter, and Peter turns and he goes and he becomes the pastor of the first church. I mean, these were people that weren't supposed to be influencers, and their lives were in shambles, and they had made mistakes, yet Jesus used them. I hope that this is encouraging for you today. I want to tell you that the harvest is plentiful, but what's not plentiful is the workers. Scripture says the harvest is plentiful and it's ripe unto harvest. It's ready, but the workers are few. Come join. Join your hands with the God of the harvest. Broadcast, spread your seeds around. And you have no idea how one conversation, how one moment, one word, one encouragement, one expression of love can simply change the course of somebody's life forever. I want to tell you this week to go out, be salt and be light to the world around you. You have an opportunity this week. Don't squander it. Utilize it to your advantage. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. And I pray that this has been a source of encouragement for everybody who is watching. I pray that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you desire to take them just as they are. That their life doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, you desire to utilize the imperfect because you knew that they were going to be able to do more. Lord, you looked at the perfect people and you said, what are you doing? Lord, I pray that for this week that you would protect each person that would go out and they would plant their seeds in the people around them. Lord, you told us to be salt. You called us to be light. Lord, I pray that we would add flavor to the relationships around us, good flavor. And I pray, Jesus, that we would reflect the light of your Son. I pray, Lord, that you would walk with us this week. Give us opportunities. Let us look around for those relationships and just simply speak love into them. Lord, again, we praise you and we thank you for all of this. And we ask it in your name. Amen.